Hello, everyone. Guest coach Jane Pilger here to chat with you all today. I apologize. I was a minute late. I went into the wrong room, but you guys, I am here. We are ready to do this. So this is a trusting your body call. And if you don't know what that means, we are going to be coaching all around the topic of trusting your body. Trusting your body is a course that I developed for you all, amazing No BS women within the No BS membership. It is available to you under self-study resources, and you can get access to the course there. It is amazing. You do not have to have completed or even started trusting your body to benefit from this call. So we're going to talk a little bit about some of the concepts within trusting your body, and then we're going to just open it up for coaching. So if you are here live with me, Coach Betsy is in the chat. If you have any questions, please type them in the Q&A. We'll get those answered. And if you would like live coaching, raise your hand and we will absolutely do that as well. So if you do not know me already, if you don't know me, there is no doubt you have actually heard of me because I am also Corinne's bestie. She talks about me all the time. We Marco Polo on a daily basis. So even if you don't know me, haven't heard me talk, you can kind of picture me walking around talking to Corinne on Marco Polo every day. So let me tell you about a little bit about trusting your body for those that either aren't familiar with it, or maybe you haven't yet taken the course. Maybe you are brand new to No BS. You're getting through the initial weight loss course. Maybe there have been so many other things you've been excited to dive into. Trusting your body, here's what is really different and unique about trusting your body that I love that it complements with everything else that goes with No BS. Is in trusting your body, we really talk about getting to understand and communicate with your body. So much of No BS and what we talk about the importance of your thoughts, right? Really understanding what is it that we're thinking, because our thinking creates everything. Our thinking creates our feelings lead to our actions. And, you know, we know that think, feel, do cycle. We really start paying attention to what we're thinking about. What are we thinking about food that has us show up in the way that we do about food? And it's amazing. And it is so important. But we spend a lot of time up here, right? We spend a lot of time in our heads. And trusting your body really helps you understand how to communicate with your body and how to really start that dialogue and really check in, communicate with your body. So we're not making all of our decisions, particularly around food, right? We're not making all of our decisions about what we're going to eat, when we're going to eat, how much we're going to eat. We don't make them all with our heads because our bodies are actually the ones that are receiving the food. Our body needs to have conversation. It needs to have some say in what we're eating and how much we're eating. And we really can communicate with our bodies. But what happens is that over time, we have essentially we've blocked that communication. So we've really, particularly through dieting, we have essentially kind of said, you know what, body, I don't really care what you're telling me. I don't really care if you're hungry or not. We're just, this is what we're doing. And we kind of do that with our heads and our minds. And we really cut off that communication with our bodies. So what we want to do here and what I'm teaching you in trusting your body, along with all of the other amazing tools in No BS, is to bring the body awareness, the body communication into the conversation and into the picture. And one of the things that we talk about in the program in trusting your body is the nervous system, really understanding your nervous system and how your nervous system works, the importance of really just understanding when you're in a very kind of grounded, calm, relaxed state, which I call home base, versus when you are in a more activated state, which you have probably heard of as like fight or flight, right? We have a lot of energy when we're above home base. That's where we're feeling anxiety, we're feeling fear, overwhelm, worry, that very high energy place. This is the place from which a lot of us eat. A lot of us have, we have taught ourselves over time, when we have a whole lot of energy and a whole lot of kind of, I like to think of it sometimes for me, it's like that buzzy feeling in your body. When you have that buzzy feeling, it's your nervous system up here above home base. And we learn that food will bring us back down into home base. But the problem is, it doesn't just bring us into home base. A lot of times it brings us down below, particularly if we're talking about binging or eating in really large quantities. Then we end up below home base where there's very little to no energy. And then we don't really want to do anything from that place. That's the place of despair, hopelessness, shutdown. That's kind of like that below home base where you're really kind of zoned out. Sometimes we eat from that place as well. We can really eat from either place. But what's amazing is when we can start to see, oh, this is my nervous system. This is the state of my nervous system right now. There is no good nervous system. There is no bad nervous system. It is not good nor bad to be in home base or out of home base. It's just the way of the world. It's like the weather, right? I can look outside right now. I see there's a storm brewing. That doesn't mean it's bad. It just means that's what's happening there. So we can kind of see here's, this is what's happening within my body. And if I can see this is the state of my nervous system, then I can respond to it with, oh, here's what my nervous system needs. Here's what I need in this moment. I can see it as the state of my nervous system and not as me personally. I am an anxious person. I am, you know, a worry wart. I am, you know, when we feel either highly activated or very lethargic and shut down, we kind of personalize it and think it's who we are. But it's not who we are. It's the state of our nervous system. And our nervous systems, they were developed over time and really based upon our past experiences, our upbringing, our conditioning, if we've experienced trauma, all of that impacts our nervous systems. And so every single one of us right now, we have a kind of a thermostat of where our body is comfortable being within our nervous system. So what that means is for some people, home base, that kind of grounded, relaxed place where I can make decisions, I can make my 24-hour plan, I can, you know, set my goals and I can do the things that I know will help me get to my goals. I can do all of that when I'm in home base. Some people, they just naturally spend more time there. Other people spend a lot more time above. Like they just generally, they run higher energy. Maybe they are very, maybe they worry a lot. Maybe they're constantly doing. If you find yourself to be somebody who kind of needs to just do, go all of the time, you're more of above home base. That's where your nervous system kind of likes to be. And if you know that's you, if you go to sit down because you know you're tired, but you actually kind of have a hard time even just sitting down. Your body is like, oh no, like this isn't okay. We need to be going. We need to be doing. Now, this, if you resonate with this, you may also resonate with overeating or even binging because this was absolutely the case for me. I lived very much above home base. I was always had to be go, doing. And if I wasn't doing, then I was, you know, either thinking I should be doing something. I had a very hard time sitting still. And so what happened was because we all need rest, right? We all need to stop. For me, the binges were the only time and the only way I actually would slow down. So it was almost like in some cases, almost a way where my body would be like, all right, if you're not going to give me a break, I'm just going to take it. I am going to take this break and I'm going to force it through a binge because I know when you have eaten all that food, you will just be sitting on the couch doing nothing. So I was either going a million miles an hour or I was binging and then doing nothing and feeling terrible and horrible and shameful. So that, because that was more of the state of my nervous system. Now, I didn't know about my nervous system at the time. I didn't really understand any of these things, but now I can look back on it and be like, oh, that makes so much sense. Now, you might be on the other side. You might think like, you know what? Those people who run around and they do all of that stuff all the time, I don't even fathom how that happens because I barely have enough energy to get out of bed in the morning. I don't even want to go anywhere or do anything. I would rather just watch Netflix all day long. Maybe that's where more what you resonate with. And so if that's you, then your nervous system is more kind of calibrated towards being below home base. It feels more comfortable for you to be below home base. So just having an awareness and an understanding of your nervous system is such a powerful, powerful thing. Now we can, but here's what's beautiful about the nervous system. Our nervous system is not, it's not fixed, right? So if you are a person who does resonate with being more above home base, that is where you're more comfortable now, but that doesn't always have to be just who you are and what your experience is going to be for the rest of your life, even if it has been for decades. Your nervous system is flexible. You can learn how to go and navigate and be more comfortable and be more safe in various parts of your nervous system. And this just happens through practice. It's like anything else, we have to be aware of anything before we can change it. So what we want to be able to do, I hesitate to say this word, but it's the only word that's coming to me, so I'm going to use it. A healthy nervous system is going to be a nervous system where you can go in and out of the different states. You can be in home base, you can be above home base, you can be below home base. But what happens is we don't get stuck. We don't get stuck in any of the places. So a lot of times we might get stuck above home base where we're just like really worried, we're overwhelmed, we're kind of like in that buzzy, like we just feel stuck up here. Or we can get stuck below and stuck feeling hopeless, we're depressed, we'll never figure it out. And when we get stuck is more than when we can kind of really, it feels like being stuck in those patterns. So what we want to be able to do is be able to recognize where you are in your nervous system and then have some very basic tools to bring yourself more into home base. Home base is the place where our prefrontal cortex, Corinne talks about the thinking brain. The thinking brain is the part of your brain that is going to make decisions, is going to set your goals, is going to, you know, be able to do your do goals and create new thinking, create new pathways. This happens with your thinking brain, your prefrontal cortex, only accessible in home base. Which is why it feels like sometimes when you are like really worried, really anxious, really freaked out, or really shut down, really depressed, really feeling hopeless, that you can't even access that part of your brain that wants to come up with new thoughts, that wants to even sit down and try to journal. That all happens in home base. So we can have some tools. I'm going to give you guys like the Trusting Your Body course is, you have an entire toolbox with all kinds of tools that tells you way more about this and gives you even more. But I'm going to give you two super quick tools to bring yourself either into home base if you're above or if you're below. So if you're above, above is high energy. So if you think about you're kind of up above and you're in really high energy, you want to bring it down. You want to bring yourself into home base, more grounding. So we want to bring that energy down. Breath is an amazing way to do it. You can take a deep breath in and then your exhale, you want your exhale to be longer than your inhale. So everybody go ahead and take a breath with me right now. We're going to inhale and then we're going to exhale. Just one breath. I can feel myself like, I can kind of feel myself come into myself. And I am in home base right now, but just that breath, it's like I just come a little bit more into myself. And we just did one breath. Three deep breaths like that with the exhale longer than the inhale will help bring that energy down and bring you more into home base. Also, if you think about, we're trying to ground you. So anything that will ground you. So you can ground in nature. You can go take a walk. You can go out. Being outside in nature You can ground with a pet. You can ground with a loved one. You can put your hand on your heart. All of these things are amazing ways to bring that energy down. Now, if you're below, you don't have any energy. We do not want to be taking big, deep breaths if we're below, because you're already like, we need to bring more energy into the equation when you're below. So you can still use your breath though. We're just going to use more of kind of short, quick breathing. So it's going to sound more like that type of thing will give you a little more energy. Taking a walk, like a brisk walk. I love music. If you have, you know, everybody has those one or two songs that are just like, yes, you hear that song and it's going to kind of generate some energy for you. You can also use like cold water or even a little bit of ice, some sort of cold to kind of stimulate your senses. So those are just kind of some super basic ways in terms of your nervous system. Okay, I want to talk about one more concept that I am really interested in right now, because I think it's really interesting, and especially as it relates to, I mean, really for anybody, but especially for binge eaters. And I want to talk about the concept of shame and the emotion of shame and why it's so important. I've been doing a lot of research on this. I am getting ready to teach a masterclass about shame and how to really soften shame. So I'm going to give you guys just a little tidbit of that. But shame is just on my mind right now. And it's because shame is, it's such a powerful emotion. And as it relates to your nervous system, here's what's fascinating about shame. So we just talked about most emotions either have that high energy where they're above home base, anxiety, fear, overwhelm, uncertainty. Those are above home base. Below home base, we have depression, hopelessness, despair. So we have those two, right? Shame actually kind of resides in both. And this is why, because shame wants us to, at the same time, we feel this like hopelessness, despair, we want to hide, but shame also has this very buzzy energy to it because we want to get away from ourselves and we want to get away from the shame. And it's why I think shame is one of the most powerful emotions, because it simultaneously is above home base and below home base. So it's kind of like, well, what do I do with it? Which do I do? You know, do I take a breath? Do I not take a breath? And shame is one of those things that the people really want to hide from and get away from. So often we might have shame about our bodies. We might have shame about what we've just eaten. If we've just binged, we have a lot of shame. And then we want to get away from the shame and get away from ourselves. So we kind of end up in this kind of perpetual cycle of shame. Now, one of the things that's important to know about shame is shame comes from thinking I am bad. It's very personal. It's like, I'm broken, I'm bad. Guilt is I've done something wrong. I've done something bad or that I don't like. Guilt is more focused on the action. Shame is more focused on me as a person. So guilt might say, I did something wrong. Shame says, I am wrong. So that's kind of the difference between guilt and shame. And because we personalize it, then shame also wants to hide. It wants to stay hidden. And shame thrives in the darkness. It grows in the darkness. And this is, I actually talk about a little bit about shame. Well, I talk about shame in trusting your body, and especially around secret eating. When we are eating in secret, there is almost always a level of shame involved. So with shame, what's really important, it's very similar to the nervous system, where we talk about doing with your nervous system, is identify it. This is shame. I am experiencing shame right now. If you can separate yourself from it just a little bit, shame is the state. It's my emotional state right now. It's not me. I am not a broken human person. I am experiencing shame. Just giving yourself a little bit of space between that is huge regarding shame. And here's the thing about shame. It feels so big. It feels so powerful. It grows in the darkness, so we don't talk about it. And then when we have shame, We cannot learn. There is no learning. There is no growing. There is no figuring things out from shame. It's like you've heard Corinne talk about the shame shawl, right? It's like we are shrouded in the shame shawl. And all of, you know, I talk about in Trusting Your Body, finding the treasure in the experience. You cannot find the treasure if you've got that shame shawl on. It just doesn't, it doesn't exist. It can't be found because shame is a survival state. So when our survival state is, and our survival brain is activated, that we can't access the thinking brain that can figure out, oh, how does this make sense? What do I have to learn here? What was different this time? All of those questions, I can ask those questions when I'm in home base, but if I'm in shame, I can't ask, I don't even have access to ask those questions because I just feel so overwhelmed. So if you can name it, this is shame. I'm experiencing shame. This is my emotional state. I won't always feel this way. Those things. And then bring in compassion. Compassion is the ultimate, ultimate antidote to shame. You can find so much compassion here within No BS, whether you have an accountability group, whether you have a one-on-one coach, whether you just come and post in the Facebook group, whether you come into the binge support subgroup in the Facebook group. You have so much support. You will be met with compassion, but you have to reach out, right? And that's what shame wants you to hide. And so letting somebody else meet you with compassion is often the best thing that you can do because you may not be able to access compassion for yourself yet. Now, I like to say, what would you say to a loved one, to another No BS woman, to your best friend in this situation, to a young girl who had this exact same experience? What would you say to her? A lot of times we can come up with that, but sometimes we can't necessarily receive that for ourselves. But compassion is the way to go, whether you seek it from somebody else or whether you ask yourself, what would I say to somebody else in this situation? So that's really for shame, like just recognizing what it is, naming it, and then bringing compassion into it and knowing that shame thrives in the darkness. And once shame is spoken, it can't really survive. It's like this, it's in this petri dish, and then it just gets exposed to whatever. When it's spoken, it can't survive, even though it feels so big and so huge. The other thing to remember about shame is that it is a very normal, natural human emotion that every single one of us experiences. We all experience shame for different reasons, but you are not alone in your feeling or your experience in shame, and your shame will not always last. It will pass, and it will pass sooner the more you can shine some light on it and allow someone or yourself to bring some compassion into it. Compassion really is like that antidote to shame. So, okay. I have talked enough. Let's get into some coaching. If you guys have any questions at all, put them in the Q&A and we are going to bring, I am not sure who this is, MB Speaker on to get some coaching. If you would like to be coached, raise your hand. And we are going to go until the top of the hour. Oh, okay. MB Speaker declined. So, Joanne, you're next. All right, here comes Joanne.
Hey, Jane.
Hello.
I'm on a computer that has some weird camera down at my navel instead of the top of the screen.
Okay.
Oh, so what? I'll just do no computer or no video.
No camera. Okay. I'll just pretend I'm looking at your lovely face. All right. What are we coaching on?
So thank you. I was able to recognize this week that I was feeling that very old familiar feeling of I am evil. And I knew it wasn't true, but I remember that feeling. I had it from very early in childhood, but completely forgot it's called shame.
So
I really appreciate you naming that. And I guess my question is, I don't know, like from your own life, if you can give me some examples, all these many, many years that I've been healing and growing and learning, I still in the last 2 weeks, or maybe the last week, found myself eating more bread than I would want to normally, and actually bought some cookies. I told myself they were for my husband, but I ended up eating some of them, not total binge, but, you know, didn't enjoy the bread, didn't enjoy the cookies, but ate them. And I'm pretty sure it's because I was avoiding or burying a feeling. I'll never give up, but I don't know if maybe there's an aha around the corner for me here.
Yeah, definitely. No, I think it's great that you raise your hand and you're kind of like curious, right? Like, okay, what's going on here? So tell me this, when you noticed kind of that you were thinking, I am evil, what precipitated thinking I am evil? Like what was before that? What happened before that?
In my experience, or the way I experienced, was somebody inferred / accused me of having bad intentions. And I've grown enough to know I have good intentions. So I felt strong in that, but still it shook me, the old way of feeling that shaken, like someone is thinking badly of me. And it used to carry the power of, if they think it is true. And it doesn't carry that complete power anymore, but I was shocked that it still had some power.
So tell me, when you had that thought, that I am evil, and then tell me what you noticed about, if you remember. Do you remember noticing anything in your body in terms of like how you were feeling physically? Like you mentioned that you might have been buying, you know, this bread and the cookies to kind of like escape the feeling. Did you notice, or were you aware of any kind of sensations in your body that felt maybe like you might have wanted to avoid them? And it's okay if the answer is no.
I think initially when I read the person's comments, so I'm not super strong yet at noticing body sensations.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure one of my go-tos is kind of like an actual like freeze sensation. Mm-hmm. Like where I just get very still and like the whole world vibrates around me. And I just, so kind of the opposite of what a lot of my friends, they're like, oh, I could feel my heart racing and my palms were sweaty. And I'm kind of like the opposite. Like, I'm just like, you know, mummified. I become like mummified or something.
Yes. Yes. Okay. So what that is also survival response, and you named it freeze, right?
Yeah.
We have different survival responses. So some people go more into the fight or flight response, which is going to be that kind of like, maybe your heart is racing. Maybe, you know, you feel like a whole lot of energy. You kind of want to like get out or like just escape from yourself and from your skin. That's like that fight or flight. Some people in the fight or flight also, they get really angry. So they might be more apt to, you know, kind of like yell or to just like say what's on their mind right away. And then what you're naming is more of a freeze. So freeze is going to be more just kind of like literally like everything just kind of stops. So that's what, you know, that's kind of what you're describing, which is amazing because you can see that. You can now see, oh, okay, this is part of kind of like my, how my nervous system responds when there is a perceived threat, because that's exactly what happens, right? If we perceive that somebody is not liking us or that there may be, you know, rejection from the tribe, if you will, then that literally our brain, body, nervous system will go into a survival response. That's just how we're, it's kind of like how we're designed. Okay. And so to be able to then see like, oh, okay, that's what's happening there is really powerful, because then you can see it as kind of like your nervous system. So, okay. So we can, you can kind of see like, or remember that you had that moment where everything kind of shut down and, you know, kind of like everything was going on around you, but you kind of felt a little more kind of frozen. Then tell me between like that and then when you bought the bread, like what then can you draw connections there? Was it like all of a sudden you started having thoughts about bread, or like, let's then try to kind of now connect. I've got this awareness. I was in the survival response. Then what?
And so firstly, I also want to thank you for naming it the nervous system, because that just having you name that puts a little bit of space, like, of course, that was my nervous system. That wasn't, you know, I don't know, some old resurrected monster or something. It's just my nervous system. Like, just because, you know, I struggled with that so much as a child, it doesn't mean I go all the way back to square one. So
yes.
Hooray for the nervous system. Thank
exactly.
you.
Exactly. And it makes sense then if the nervous system was feeling threatened, that's the word I'm looking for. If the nervous system was feeling threatened, it's going to go back to, what do I know that will keep me safe? Right? Like, what do I know? What have we done in the past? Like, it will try to go back to old patterns, particularly while you're in the process of developing new ones. So when your nervous system is activated, when there is something that, you know, kind of triggers that survival response, it makes sense that our brain kind of wants to just go straight for that, you know, what it's used to. Now, that doesn't mean it always will. We are rewiring. Yeah. We are creating new neural pathways. So you're exactly right. You have not gone back. We are not, you know, like starting over. We haven't just backslid to your childhood, you know, like none of that. Right?
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
your nervous system. So now, did you, I mean, is eating bread something that you have done in the past in terms of like to kind of soothe and provide comfort and those types of things? Like, is that does that make sense in terms of that connection for you?
Yes. So in the moment, I'm not aware of any of that, but yes, looking back over my life, I was able to find,
Okay. Now tell me this, you said you didn't enjoy the bread and you didn't enjoy the cookies.
Yeah.
And only you can answer this question, but is that true in its entirety? Or is it more that you didn't, I mean, I don't know, only you can know, but did part of you enjoy it? Did you enjoy some of it? Was there anything enjoyable about it? Do you think you maybe don't want to enjoy it, so then you won't eat it? Like, let's just explore that a little bit.
Okay. No, I don't think I'm like trying to talk myself out of liking it or something. The first two cookies I did, I was kind of amazed. I don't drink wine, but I find it fascinating how people say, oh, there's the oak note or the cherries or whatever. And I was fascinated that I actually thought I could taste it, a wee touch of lemon in the shortbread cookie. So that was a little intriguing to me. And, but... you know, I didn't like love it. It wasn't like, oh, yay, this is so wonderful. It was just like, ah, it's cookie. You know, it's.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the same with the bread, and the bread was even less enjoyable. It was like, yeah, it's, you know, I don't know. My childhood best friend was Jewish, and so I bought challah bread.
Yeah.
And
I think that's great. I think it's just something I wanted to kind of check in with. Here's what I think is amazing, and what I pull out of what you just said is that you were eating, I mean, at least the cookies, you were eating with enough mindfulness to be able to pull out the lemon notes from a shortbread. Now, if you are eating cookies from a place of like trying to like calm your nervous system down, if you're eating cookies from a place of like pure disconnection from yourself, you are not going to notice lemon notes. Like, you're just not, right? Okay. I mean, everybody on this call has had the experience of like, wow, did I just eat those cookies? Like, where did they go? You know?
Yeah.
And that was not your experience. So what that tells me is that, yes, your brain might have offered up these things as, you know, solutions to, you know, here's the nervous system. We are threatened. We're in a survival response. Here's what we've done in the past. Let's go back to that. Like that all makes sense. But you weren't even, it doesn't sound to me in the brief amount that you told me that you weren't even eating those things in the way that you have in the past. You're still connecting with yourself. You're still connecting with the experience with the food. It's not using food to kind of like completely disconnect or like shove down the emotion itself.
Yeah.
Now
I can add this though, Jane, that I just remembered that right after this happened and I reached out to my coach and was interacting with her a little bit, had a great coaching call with my coach, got off the call and had bought a bag of chips for my husband, and ended up stuffing chips and was aware, wow, haven't done this in a long time.
Okay.
You know, that whole like make your mouth hurt kind of thing. Like,
yes.
Bizarre behavior stuff.
Yes. Yes. So that right there, then to me is like, oh, okay. That is trying to avoid an emotion.
Okay.
Like that is right. Like I'm stuffing the chips in. I just got off the call. It would be really interesting for you to go back and kind of like look at what was coming up for me on the call. Like it was a really great call, but there was probably something else there. I am sure you have emotion to process around the you've named it now as shame around somebody having opinions about you, negative opinions about you. So there's definitely like those things to look at and to allow yourself to process them. And I would get really curious about when these emotions, like what do these emotions feel like in my body? Like there will be periods of time where you kind of go into that, like your nervous system may do more of that shutdown. So you can kind of start to notice, okay, well, that's what it feels like. But really start to paying attention to those, using the now plus nurture process, the now process in no BS, the now plus nurture process in trusting your body. There's definitely, I think there likely are some emotions that you are avoiding that you can kind of like dig into there. And then there's also amazing work here for really being able to identify your nervous system, what happens there, really see that, like, oh, of course, you totally are making these changes. It's just when something happens where we do have that survival response, it makes sense that our brain wants to kind of go back to that place. And so we can just notice, oh yeah, okay. I can see that.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, even you saying, you know, hey, if the tribe rejects you, you know, you're threatened. Mm-hmm. So, I hadn't, it's funny how you know, you learn all these things and then you forget these really simplistic things like, yes, it was my nervous system and I felt threatened. And yes, of course, there's going to be a reaction and, you know.
Well, and this is the beauty of coaching, and it's the beauty of being in no BS. And it sounds like you, you know, you're in one-on-one coaching, which is great. It's the beauty of that because we can't always see it for ourselves. We just can't. And so being able to talk about it. And for those of you that aren't in coaching, go to Ask Coaches, raise your hands on these calls, get an accountability group, because you can just be talking with your accountability partner. And Corinne and I do this all the time. Like, we'll be like, I don't know if you realize that you just said, you know, X, Y, Z, like we just kind of, you know, we're talking along and we don't even realize that what we're thinking is not exactly true because we're in it. Right. And when somebody yeah. else can hear it, they can just help you see more clearly. So yeah, you're, I mean, you are doing a great job. Nothing has gone wrong here. There's so much yeah. amazingness for you to learn. And yeah, you're definitely on the right track.
Thank you, Jane.
Yeah. Thank you.
By the way, I was bragging in the chat about your bathtub analogy in your, Trust Your Body course.
Yes.
I re-listened to that video. I swear it must've been at least 15 times,
yes.
but I can't find that exact one. So everybody wants to know which video it is.
Oh, the video, we'll put it in the, I don't remember offhand, but we'll for sure get it. We'll get it in the, we'll get it in the show notes of the call.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah,
thanks,
definitely
Jane,
talking
for everything.
About the urges as you, yeah, yeah, yeah. All right. Thanks, Joanne.
Bye-bye.
Okay. I'm going to make Joanne back to attendee. If you want coaching, raise your hand. And for those who are listening and are saying, what are we talking about with the urges and the bathtub? So there is a video that will be linked in the show notes for this call that I talk about in the Trusting Your Body program. I basically talk about that your urges are, if you think about like a water in a bathtub, right? When we have an urge, you can let that the water, the energy of the urge can drain. It just needs to drain out of you. Now, sometimes it drains fast, sometimes it drains long, but you don't, if you think about a bathtub, right? Do you ever just get upset because your bath isn't draining fast enough? Like, no, you don't get mad at the bathtub. Sometimes you get out and you just let the bath keep draining while you go on with your day. You can do that with your urges too, right? You can go along with your day, bring the urges with you. It's just that bathtub, like, all right, I've got this urge. It's going to drain eventually. And we don't have to fight it. We don't have to get mad at it. We don't have to think it should drain faster. We don't have to just stop the rest of our getting ready routine while we stand there and just stare and wait for the water to go down the drain. Like, it's going to drain. The same thing is going to happen with your urge. And I'm going to mention one thing. If you want coaching, raise your hand. Otherwise, I'm just going to mention one more thing. If you have any questions, put them in the Q&A. Otherwise, we can get wrapped up here. So, but I want to mention one more thing. This is specifically about urges. And somebody was talking about this in the Facebook group today, in the Binge Support Facebook group, which if you are a binger and you are not in the Binge Support Facebook group, definitely get in there. It's one of the subgroups. And it's amazing, but they were talking about not having had ice cream for the last 3 nights. And they were starting to get worried that they weren't going to be able to keep it up. They want to be a person who doesn't eat ice cream regularly, but they're worried that they're not going to be able to keep it up. Here's something I want to tell you about urges. If you are allowing urges, if you are letting those urges, the water drain from the bathtub, truly letting that process and go through you, they're not going to just stay around and build up. If you have been allowing urges, let's say you have not been eating ice cream for 3 nights in a row, and you're starting to think like, I don't know if I can keep this up. Like you're really wanting to eat more ice cream. You're thinking about more ice cream. You're noticing the urges kind of like build. That is a sign right there that you are using willpower and resistance to get through your urges, not allowing that water to drain. So basically your sign is going to be, if you are noticing things building, like we've all had that experience where it's just like, oh my gosh, like I just couldn't handle it anymore. Like I just had to go eat all the food. Right. And it almost feels like it's just growing, building. And then you just feel like, I just have to go binge. Or just eat, whatever it is. That is a sign that you are using willpower. If you are allowing those urges to process through, if you are allowing that bathwater to drain on its own, you are that the urges, they go. Now, it doesn't mean they're gone forever. It will likely come back as you're, you know, kind of rewiring your brain and creating these new pathways, but they don't come back with a vengeance. They don't come back bigger and bigger. If anything, the more you allow urges, the less intense they become. So if you are noticing the opposite, where your urges are feeling more intense over days, that is a sure sign that you are white knuckling or using resistance, and you can go into No BS and you can just search for all kinds of amazing calls and resources to help you around that. Okay, MB speaker, we're going to try again. You had declined last time, but maybe that was just temporary because I do see your hand raised. So, all right, here she comes. Okay, while she's coming on, I'm going to answer a question from the chat. How do you know if you are a binger? I think I have binge behaviors, but not all the time. So I talk about this in the Trusting Your Body program. The very short answer is generally binging is going to be eating large amounts of food in a short period of time, typically more than would be consumed in one sitting. And the hallmark is really that there's a lot of shame around it. Sometimes it can be kind of like weird combinations of foods, but generally it's large amounts of food in a small period of time with quite a bit of shame. There is more information on that in Trusting Your Body. All right. Hello.
Hi, Jane. Can you hear me?
I can. What's your name?
Michelle.
Michelle. Okay.
Sorry. I'm a little technically challenged. I didn't mean to decline before.
Oh, okay. No, sometimes people raise their hand and they don't really mean it. And so, but good. I'm glad you persisted. So.
Thank you. Thanks.
Yeah.
First, I wanted just to say that I just really want to thank you for the course, the Trust Your Body course. I have been a binge eater for decades. Yes. And have sought out help for almost as long. And I just feel like finally, somebody understands and really is giving me some content and tools to like really work on this.
Oh,
so it's really given me some hope.
That's great.
So I'm using the Now Plus Nurture, and I've started using the trust process. And I really have kind of boiled it down to I love how you talk about your emotional capacity and how you can learn to expand that. Yes. And I've really come to understand that I really never have been able to handle, sit with discomfort. Mm. Those uncomfortable feelings, I have used food forever. Wow. Just to not have to sit with them. And it's just the whole No PS program and this course has been so helpful to just normalize them. Yeah. And yeah. Make them kind of seem like, okay, they're not going to last forever. Here are some tools. What I'm working on right now is I am a binger, but I have never been a purger. Okay. So when I binge food, I gain a ton of weight very quickly. And so I'm at the point right now where I am very physically uncomfortable. It's really impacting my quality of life. And so I'm in it to win it. I have lost over 100 pounds twice before in my life and gained it back. And yeah. I don't want that to happen this time.
Yeah.
And so I'm really trying to focus on do goals and behaviors and stay off the scale as much as I can. But what I'm struggling with right now is finding a balance between not restricting and eating for weight loss. And so I just don't know if, you know, if you have any tools or any kind of like thoughts, you know, that I can work on, or I know that restriction, I cannot do that because it just sets me up for the urges and the binging. But on the other hand, I really would like to eat for weight loss for my physical comfort more than anything, and just to be able to engage in life activities that I want to be able to engage in. And so I just didn't know what your thoughts were on that.
So it, for me, for somebody who is engaging in binge behaviors on a regular basis, even the thought I'm eating for weight loss can be perceived as restrictive, right? Like, I'm eating for weight loss means I need to eat less than, you know, I need to eat less so that my body will lose weight. Now, for some people, many people, they can think, okay, I'm eating for weight loss, and that doesn't trigger restrictive thinking. For somebody who has a very long history of binge eating, I recommend, rather than thinking about eating for weight loss, and I talk about this in the Trusting Your Body program too. I really want you to connect with your body and really just honing in on your body's signals of hunger, your body's signals of enough, of, and enough could be, and you know, you can kind of really play around with what enough means for you. I like to think about it as satisfaction, not fullness. Like, we're not necessarily trying to get full. Like, we, you know, we don't want to be full, but we want to be satisfied, meaning we're not going to be looking for more food. So when you can listen to your body, if you're listening to your body and you can get to the place where you can communicate with your body, you can trust what your body's going to tell you. Your body can trust you. You guys, trusting your body is a two-way street. Okay. Here's something very important to think about. When you, a lot of times it's like, oh, well, I don't trust my body. I don't trust myself. I don't trust my signals. Well, guess what? So many times, and for so many people, your body doesn't trust you either. Because how many times have you not fed it? Have you, you know, oh, this time is going to be different. You've lost 100 pounds twice. I'm going to guess you did that with restriction, right?
A lot of restriction.
Yeah. So your body is not necessarily trusting you yet. So we have to get trust going both ways. I know it can feel very like urgent and like I have to take care of this physical problem right away because I'm not comfortable in my body. But what we really need to do is we need to develop safety, we need to develop trust, and we need to develop communication between you and your body and you. So that has to happen in really connecting with yourself, connecting with your hunger signals, feeding yourself when you're hungry, being willing to like stop when you are at that satisfied point. And there's so much work to be done all in between that. But to me, for somebody who is struggling with active binging, to think about eating for weight loss, I think you've got to get the binging first, right? It's like, it's got to be the first layer. And when you are not binging, the weight loss will come. Like, the weight loss needs to be a result of the trust you create with your body, not the goal to begin with, because your brain is going to be like, we're doing this again. We are going to be on this restriction train again. Like, even though you logically know I can't do that, just think and hear me, everybody, that this is a different situation for every person. So I am not speaking this is what every single person should do. But based on what Michelle is telling me and her history, I think that her thinking about eating for weight loss is going to create some of that restrictive thinking in your brain and your body that's already like, I don't know if I can really trust you through this process. Like you say, I can't diet and I can't restrict, but we're eating for weight loss. How is that different? And yes, it is very possible through your thinking to get to that place, right? So again, this is going to be very different for different people. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts when I tell you this? Does eating for weight loss kind of create some of that restriction thinking for you?
It actually revs up my nervous system. Like it makes me nervous and makes for instance, on Saturday, my best friend's mother died a few weeks ago and we had a service for her Saturday. And afterwards there was a luncheon and I was so proud of myself, how I showed up for that luncheon and what I chose and how I was hungry. I ate till satisfied. But afterwards my diet brain said, you probably didn't need to have that half of a cookie. Why did you eat that half of a cookie? You probably didn't eat. Now, you know, you'll lose weight more if you don't eat that. You know, even though initially I was so proud of how I showed up and I was like, that felt so controlled and so good to eat like I ate. And then something came in, you know, old shitty after and tried to, you know, make me feel shame about it, bad about it.
Yeah. So for you, it's a great example. So you, and I think it's beautiful that you can say, you know what, look how I showed up. I did amazing. I felt great about it. I was really like, I enjoyed it. You know, I was connected, all of that. Those are the types of things you want to create more of, right? You want to create more of those wins, more of those things. And it makes sense that then if you didn't eat that half a cookie, then you would lose weight. That's the part that is the diet brain. That's the part where I don't think that thinking about it as eating for weight loss, I don't think that's where you are. Now, that doesn't mean maybe you won't be able to get there, but for somebody with the history that you have, I would love to see you focus on really focusing on developing connection, trust, and safety with yourself and with your body, right? Like safety, meaning noticing when your nervous system gets revved up, working on kind of bringing that down. Note, like really safety with your body of like, okay, we're not going to do that. We are not going to go down that rabbit hole again, because you know where it leads. And so, but now you have all of these other tools that you didn't have before, right? You've got the tools to be able to communicate with your body, to work with your nervous system, to really pay attention while you're eating, using the trust process, using Now Plus Nurture. You have all of these other tools that you haven't had before. So you're really in a beautiful space. But for you specifically, I don't think that eating for weight loss is going to be the right tool for you. Okay. Now here's one thing I will say though, is what you said in the very beginning of the call. You said, I've noticed I don't like dealing with, like, I'm not comfortable dealing with uncomfortable, like uncomfortable feelings, uncomfortable emotions. So what I would do, and when you're in a place where your nervous system is nice and you're in home base and you can really kind of just put your brain to work on this, think about how that's actually not true. Think about how much discomfort you have endured over the years of your binging and your severe restriction. That is some serious discomfort. And quite honestly, having been on both sides of the severe restriction, the severe binging, and the emotional capacity where like I can be with like the big, formerly scary emotions, the binging and the restricting is harder. Like physically, like what actually doing all of that is harder than the emotional stuff. So you can do it. You have such ability, like you have skill sets there that you can translate to the emotions. It's just all in the way you think about it, right? It's like if they, and so again, that's creating more safety within yourself to be able to expand your emotional capacity. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to dive in, right? Like those of us who binge, we like to be all or nothing. Like, okay, I am either going to feel none of the feelings or I'm going to feel all of the feelings, right? Yeah. I'm either going to eat none of the cookies or I'm going to go eat two dozen, right?
Right.
So what we want to do with our emotional capacity, what if I just like, I'm just going to bring in one more tablespoon of feeling. I'm just going to dip my toe into that shame or that disappointment or that whatever that I would eat over. And I'm just going to, just a little bit, like, I'm just going to go lift one more rep of weights in the emotional gym. That's it. I'm not going to go try to, you know, get a new max rep count or weight amount. I'm just going to go just build a little bit.
No, I agree. I've really been working on that, on expanding my emotional capacity to handle uncomfortable emotions and feelings. And I think that's one of the most exciting things about this work to me is that it feels like I think I can do this. I think I have the tools now that I can really work on this, and I want to do it.
Yes.
So you have to, you know, as a binger, you have to get to the point where you want to do that more than you want to binge. And it's a journey.
It is a journey, and it takes time. But here's what I want to leave all of you with. And that is this: as a binger, what I love most is focusing on the relationship with your body, the communication with your body, taking care of yourself, looking at you as a whole, as your nervous system, as the, you know, looking at all of you together rather than looking at the behavior. So many of us look at the behavior. I just want to stop this terrible thing. I want to focus on the food. What am I eating? What am I not eating? Did I eat the cookie? Did I not eat the cookie? You guys, it's not like, yes, that becomes the byproduct when you are really able to connect more with yourself, more really that communication, looking at your needs, all of these other things. The food then kind of can become a byproduct, but it makes sense that we've all focused on the food itself for so long. But the more we focus on the food, the more it all becomes about the food. And it's not about the food. It's about everything else that's going on within our bodies, our minds, and bringing all of that together from this place of, you know, really just wanting to create that amazing, safe, connected place for us so we can go out and live the amazing lives that we're all capable of living.
Absolutely. That's why I think No BS is just, it's amazing. I'm so happy to have found it.
It is.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks you. Okay, everybody. Thank you so much. That is what I have for you this evening. Join me in the subgroup, in the binge support subgroup, and we will see you guys there. Okay, bye.